you learn your lessons through the year. Just don't ever get too comfortable, right? And you're only as good as your last game. So that's how we approach every day. I think if we had a line of guys up here after me, they would probably tell you that I don't have any problem keeping them humble and making sure that we don't change our approach 1%. You know, Western New York, we're a good fit for Western New York because we are a blue collar program.
That's UB Bulls head coach Pete Lembo, as they had their media day this week for the MAC, getting ready to go here. UB ready and willing. And Pete Lembo there saying, you're only as good as your last game. Well, the good news for that is that
they
your last
the
game
Bowl.
Was that they won the Bahama Bowl against Liberty.
And they're looking good, too, in another way with Dolak and Andreessen both on, you know,
both on
NFL
pro rosters at
right
this
now.
Moment. So things are looking up for UB football. So what better time to go ahead and talk about the Bulls? And we're going to bring in a friend of the program, someone that I haven't had on here for almost too long. I feel like it's kind of criminal at this point. But Maniac from Trainwreck Sports joining us here on the Western Hotline. It's Joe and Derek. First of all, it's good to be able to have you on the airwaves here again, Maniac. It's good.
No, Joe and Derek, thanks for having me. I am going to pardon any crime you think you've committed because we are free rolling. We are ready to rock. We are 12 days away from these Bulls storming into Minnesota. A lot to be excited about, whether it's from the 10,000-foot view of the program, from getting new donors, a new scoreboard at the stadium, and, you know, buy-in at all levels with the highest GPA in program history, or kind of a revamped roster reloaded from last year, the old school way with just internal recruiting and progression from the roster they had. Not a lot of transfer portal going on in the UB neck of the woods.
And that's kind of an interesting thing there that you bring up, Maniac, because of the fact that the transfer portal being so alive in college sports, for them to really not have to hit into it that much is really kind of a fascinating storyline in and of itself. Because the struggle of a mid-major in talented mid-majors is that it's often going to be used against you because players will then take the opportunity to springboard themselves to higher conferences, more prestigious schools, better opportunities. And yet, you can also try to use it yourselves, but UB is looking at, like you said, homegrown talent, doing it a little bit of the old school way.
Yeah, I think that there's something to be said about the C word, and no, don't warn your producers with the dumb button. I'm talking about continuity here, and that definitely is playing in with what they're seeing at the UB football program. Obviously, there is a little bit of changeover at signal caller. Apparently, we'll have Taquan Robertson going in as the starter, a guy from Orange, New Jersey, hopping a skip over from the Bada Bing. But that's a guy, you know, who knows how to foster a family and be a boss when called upon. So we're excited about that. Despite the change at signal caller, it's a lot of the same. Obviously, you've got your Red Murdochs, you've got your Nick McMillan coming back from last year, and of course, Victor Snow, one of the best athlete names for Buffalo you could possibly have.
So when it comes down to it, though, Maniac, it does look like the first year with Lembo, they get 9 wins. They win the Bahamas Bowl. It seems like it's a program that should be on the up and up. But it did take a little bit here. There was a little bit of struggle after Lance Leipold leaves the program. And now, though, what is it about Lembo that is able to give such optimism for a UB program that was kind of down in the dumps for the last couple of years?
I cannot say how much respect I want to put on what I'm about to say, but he has to be one of the least intimidating coaches that I've ever interacted with. I think he's just very approachable, very straight shooter. Like, you know, to certain coaches and everything, they'll act like they're playing 4D chess when they could really just be setting up a game of checkers. I think he kind of just takes the checkers approach when he needs to, and he evolves to chess when called upon. So you have that. First off, if you've ever listened to one of his, pressers, he typically always starts with a movie quote or something like that. I'm sorry, that's very, endearing, I think. And it just, it's hard to quantify, Derek, but I can't, and Joe, but I cannot state how many people we talked to, how many athletes within the program last year in this window from May to August. You didn't have to be a music major to know they were singing a different tune around that program. It's something about the way that Lembo has that chemistry working, and he's definitely got it working in this program. They got them believing over there at UB Stadium.
So, Maniac, I've been producing these UB Bulls games for the past few years when I started here. And, you know, hearing Cole Snyder, CJ Agbana moving in and out, you knew exactly what the play was going to be depending on what quarterback was in there. And they tried using the dual running and throwing quarterback. What do you feel about Roberson and his potential upside, his ceiling? Do you think he'll be able to step in and kind of take this program from where it was?
Well, I think it says something that, you know, Agbana's still in the ether, right? And we're moving forward with Roberson because I think – last year, we got a really good floor with Agbana. I think he produced, quote-unquote, when called upon. But I think we're trying to take that to a new level. I guess there's a running factor of Roberson that might be available. But it was very telling when our Mike Bunt caught up with him a couple days ago. He asked him, you know, if you could affect the game in any way, you know, what's your wild card? What's your variable of it? And he just said that he wants to be a guy who affects the game in three ways, with his arm, with his legs, and with his brain. And he's constantly remarked that he's working on all three of those, getting better every day. And this is a guy who's laser focused. Our guy Bunt asked him his goal for the season, and he said 1-0 on August 28th. So, you know, all I can see, because I haven't seen anything on the field, it's all going to be telling August 28th that this guy has the poise to make plays and if this guy can be situational for this Bulls team. But the team and the staff seems to have the belief in him.
Maniac joining us on the Wester Hotline from Trainwreck Sports as we're talking UB football right now. When it comes to it, though, you mentioned it. August 28th, they open against Minnesota. It should be an interesting challenge for this 9-win team last year. And now I look at this and go, this is a very approachable season for them when it comes to the MAC. The quality of competition, they were amongst the top there. I do believe that betting odds have them either third or fourth typically when it comes to where they're going to place in the conference. But it does look like it's a season where you can take advantage.
Yeah, things are setting up well for them. And I think last year they may have snuck up on some teams, just, you know, to be fair. I think that nobody had them slated for 9 wins last season. To get there was crazy. So that was an amazing accomplishment for Lembo and staff to step in kind of on short notice and get that done. I think they've kind of lost the sneak up factor, but like you said, the schedule kind of bends in their direction a little bit. Yeah, you start on the road at Minnesota, but you get St. Francis at home. The only real bad break to me is that you get the early MAC game at Kent State, but that's at Kent State. That's a team you quote unquote should beat. So that's so you go take care of that. Then there's a big factor here, Derek and Joe, that obviously goes without being said. You get 7 home games on this 12-game schedule. So they'll be able to finish out the home schedule, Connecticut, Eastern Michigan, Akron, and then the 2 crucial games. The one that always, Derek, if you produce these UB games, you know the Ohio games, whether it's Miami of Ohio or Ohio, especially on the road, have historically always given these Bulls a ton of difficulty. So to get those 2 games, not only at home, but at the tail end of the season where you can kind of take care of the rest of the business. Speaking of taking care of business, I can't help but notice that the Week 12 game at home hosting Ohio is actually sponsored by Paul Hutchings of Scroy Lawley. I'm looking on the UB Bulls schedule here. Derek, you know that Scroy Lawley achieves production and financial results for their clients, seizing the moment. And I would not be surprised if UB puts up some numbers and seizes the moment. Carpe diems in this game as well.
Yeah, and honestly, it is going to be something to look at here. But they lose Dolak, obviously, with graduation. But it does look like there's a bit of a pattern forming here with UB and linebackers right now. Because who's next on this list? It's Red Murdoch. Murdoch was fantastic for them last year. Has himself a great bowl. This is a player that is going to be another one of those that could follow Andreessen and Dolak in the UB impact player in the middle of the defense.
Yeah, Lembo and his staff, they obviously have the unenviable task of replacing Sean Dolak, but Red Murdoch is just as close to having, you know, a clone in the you know, in the chamber, right ready to go. A guy who in G5 was second in solo tackles last year. Might be off on that, but either still second in tackle somewhere. And yeah, it's a big opportunity for Red Murdoch to continue, obviously, what Sean Dolak started with his defense. The defense is a very dependable unit for a majority of last season. If they can continue that stability, and then you get some production from TR, and obviously your Al J. Hendersons of the world on the offensive side, Derek, that's where you start to add up the building block pieces of getting wins, and that's when you start to build up your golden ticket of getting a trip to Detroit on December 6th.
Finally, for me, when it comes to you, be here, Maniac. It is a promising group. I do think that they have opportunities to make things happen here. Who is the underrated player that you're looking at to make an impact for this team this season in order to try to capture a MAC championship?
So I'm still a neophyte in the game. As much as I want to be an insider, you know this. But I Red Murdoch's not going to carry anyone off guard. Taquan's obviously going to have all eyes on him being the quarterback. Nick McMillan is someone who came out last year. He was expected to be the one from Buffalo, New York guy, OG. And then, but he was expected to be, the number one wide receiver last year, gets hurt first or second game, season essentially over. So I love when athletes get that opportunity. I know that injuries are obviously adversity, but when they can take that and kind of learn from it, and it seems like, from what I've heard, from what sources are saying, that he's been able to do that, and I would love to see that production roll right into this season, pick up where he left off last year, Nick McMillan.
All right, I like that, Maniac, and I'm going to keep you around here. We'll shift a little bit of focus here, but it is kind of funny how it's 0-60 for college football. Mm-hmm. It is. Yeah. There's no preseason. You're going right at it. It's at Minnesota on the 28th. But in the NFL, obviously, we have these preseason games. We have a work up to the regular season. What have you seen so far from training camp and preseason that has you feeling good, and what might have some questions in the head from the Buffalo Bills so far this training camp? Because Mike Bunt's been doing a great job on the beat for you guys there, so I'd imagine he's got plenty of those reports given to you guys.
Yeah, he's been crushing it for sure. I think he still thinks that our wide receiver depth is slept on. He was a guy who was able to talk to Elijah Moore, Palmer, all those guys early in camp. And I know that, not only did he like what he heard from him, I know, Elijah Moore's availability has been frustrating to some people, but I think that I could be in these words, you know how this works, Eric. It's, these NFL cut down days can be anything, but I would not be surprised if the weapons from this year are not only better, but greatly surpassed from what we had last year. And then I think the one thing that you would just be silly not to be worried about, because it's like the one glaring red alarm, is just the safety situation. And part of it is, Crams, we were spoiled. We knew how good we had it, but we still didn't know how good we had it with 23 and 21 back there for about 5-6 years of continuous, I would say, domination. You just didn't throw deep on the Bills. You didn't attack deep on the Bills. It was never at 15 to 20 yards downfield was basically off limits. So that allowed the LBs to be a little bit more, aggressive in that zone, and obviously the DL to pin their ears back. But, hopefully Cole Bishop is a guy who can get healthy and, has taken in some of the lessons, some of the learning curve, despite being hurt. And we'll see, obviously, hopefully Taylor Rapp can return to form and be the guy that he's been dependent on to be the last couple of years.
Maniac, aside from the safety position, you mentioned just the broader spectrum of the defense. I feel like they have done enough to really beef it up. And looking how the Chiefs game ended last year, right, we relied on Jordan Phillips to make a big time stop. I feel like you have the guys to get that done now. What do you think? Do you think they've done enough?
Yeah, I think they've done enough. And this is one thing I would say out loud, and yes, injuries are a part of the game. I think they've gotten a little injury unlucky the last couple of years. I think they got very injury lucky the first couple of years, and then they've got unlucky the last couple of years. So there is a factor to that, but hopefully between, the wellness team and the strength and conditioning team, we have one of the better years as far as health. And you talked about the depth kind of putting us to the sword last year. I mean, can we talk about, I don't care if he's starting for Dallas right now. Carrier Elam was a lost puppy out there last year in the AFC Championship. So I don't have to, terrorize your listeners with that. But like you guys said, they've added so much depth, it feels like, at the D-line, whether it's the LBs, whether it's the growth of Andreessen. And I know that it's been talked about and it's staring everyone in the face, but I still think we are getting potentially Joey Bosa at the tail end of his prime. And if we can get those 1 to 2 years that we really wanted to get out of Von Miller, out of Joey Bosa, well, then maybe, these playoff situations have a little different ending.
Yeah, it's going to be a fascinating season, to say the least, especially because there's no better feeling than casually going back to the AFC Championship in what many were predicting before the year was maybe a step back season for the Bills in their standards. Instead, it's the same old, same old. So finally, the toughest question coming here for you is this.
Uh-oh.
Yep. I've got to get you with a hard one sometimes, buddy. And it's going to go like this. It's going to go like this. Is this team, as it is constructed, it does look like there's a new core that is formed. Are you still just as confident in them as you have been in years past?
Yeah, I'm confident in the players. Let me put it this way to you, because I love a good pop culture reference.
Yep.
I am confident in this new wave of Avengers. Now, are they going to have the gel and the compatibility that our OG run did? Like that, you know, I feel like Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer always knew where each other were, things like that. And again, that was the core we all wanted to go to that next level, obviously. But yeah, it's going to be this core of Terrell Bernard, Greg Russo, everything like that. Are they going to get us to this next level? They've got the abilities. If I can just, you know, if we can get there and we can put them in a position to make plays, I think that our time has come, and I think that they can make us take us to the promised land in that regard.
All right. I saw something. We're kicking back to college football for a second here, Maniac. A great answer. I do love that. The Avengers thing there, too, with the Thunderbolts Avengers little pull there. I'm seeing something from Pete Thamel, college football writer with College Game Day on ESPN, saying that the Big Ten has begun populating an expanded college football playoff idea to include up to 24 or 28 teams. How gross does that sound to you?
It sounds gross for sure. The only problem is that this is a situation that the college sphere has done to itself, because now that you have early playoff games sprinkled in early December and then the end of December, how is someone supposed to care about, like, the, you know, with all due respect to, you know, like the Dollar General Bowl, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
How am I getting out? Like, so they realize, well, what do we do with the ratings? We just throw a couple more teams in here. I mean, now, again, I think that this could be a victim of, like, the success they had with it last year. By the way, it turned out good for them last year. It turned out exactly how it should turn out last year. I know there were people saying, well, the higher seeds lost. Well, the whole point of including more teams was that if a team like Ohio State had a weird loss, which they did to Michigan at the end of the year, it wasn't a death sentence as far as their national championship up, because Ohio State clearly ended up being the best team when it was all said and done. I think that they're maybe leaning on that a little bit too much with this move. And let's face it, Cramps, you know this is a dollars move. Like, come on, more bowls, more money, more coverage, more TV contracts. I hate to say it, but the NCAA, I mean, I don't have to tell you what the C in their stands for. You know it's corrupt.
Oh, yeah, of course. It's all about the money at that point. We all know why they'd be doing it. That's why I'm like, the first thing I'm thinking of when it comes to a word to think of that idea is gross. Yeah. But because I saw it, I'm like, I'm talking to someone with college football knowledge right now. I might as well ask him that question as I see it live. Yeah, I don't know if I like that idea.
I supported the 12 because mm-hmm. I think you got what you wanted out of the 12.
Yes.
You got those fringe teams. You got those exciting athletes. Oh, now we can get the Heisman, like, you know, the guy, you're more likely to get a Heisman Trophy winner in the top 12 teams than you were the top four teams. So you get them, but all of it plays for sure, but too much of a good thing. I mean, we know what happened to Augustus Gloop when he visited the factory.
Yeah. And it just, for me, it just sounds like, you know, it, as you said, the corrupt sort of thing on this. It's a Power Five conference trying to make sure they get the most representation, the most money that they possibly can there, because it becomes the question of how many teams is too many teams for a college football playoff. And like you said, it's got money to deal with it on the whole end of it.
The only way I am going to sign off on this a tad, and this just speaks to my own corruption, if the MAC champion gets an auto bid.
And they do have for the non. So the Power Four, there's still only two bids based on that proposal. It'd be two bids automatically for outside of the Power Four conferences.
Oh, see, that's a joke.
Yeah.
No, I need every kind. If you won your conference, you did it. You're in.
Exactly.
NCAA tournament style. Why are we not running synonymous with that?
Exactly. It just seems like it's the Big Ten trying to get as much money as they can in their pockets on this, and it's like, hold your horses.
Yep.
Maniac, I appreciate the time. Thanks for jumping in with us here. And if people aren't following the team at Trainwreck Sports, let them know where they got to find your stuff.
Gotcha. Yeah, just go check us out at Trainwreck Sports. No O on the Twitter. We lost it in a lawsuit, but all the other sub-accounts for our Bills, Chicken Wings, UB Bulls, every coverage that goes from there. So check it out. Appreciate the time. And speaking of dollars, thanks to the team over there at WGRB and some money. Keep doing your thing.
Hey, appreciate you, man. Good to have you back on the air with us.
Later, boys. Have a good Saturday.
That's Maniac from Trainwreck Sports there on the West Hur Hotline. Talking some UB football, a little bit of Bills. We saw the college football playoff idea. That sounds genuinely terrible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, that'll be interesting to see if that materializes.
Big old no thank you on that one. Yeah, that's not... I don't like that at all.
No.
Get out of there.
Not at all.
Get out of there.
I was okay with the move to the 12 team, just like Maniac said, but this would be a step too far, I think. You know? Yeah. I think that'd be pushing it.
It's also... So, looking at this, is according to Pete Thamel of College Game Day, ESPN. It would propose eliminating conference title games from having... And having a large number of auto bids for all four of the power leagues. For example, in a 2018 model that was proposed, automatic bids would go to the Big Ten and SEC, ACC, and Big 12, having 7, 7, 5, and 5. Get out of here with that garbage. Because that's what that is. That's garbage. You're looking at 24 of these 28 teams in the 2018 model being from the Power Four, and then four others are at large. And only two of those other four, two are at large, excuse me, and two are for bids from the other leagues.
Mm-hmm.
No. That's something that's like, of course, the Big Ten commissioner is going to be like, oh, we ran it by our own league on Wednesday, and they love the idea. No, it is pretty much about you're trying to keep your conference getting the most money and that sort of thing. And you're also asking for there to be some sort of like, oh, what about it being March Madness? The only way I'd want that, and I agree with Maniac on that, is if you win your conference, you're getting in, like a March Madness tournament. You win your conference, you've got a spot.
Mm-hmm.
And I know why Maniac thinks about that. That's a UB tie right there.
Right.
UB gets it with the MAC. They're in the playoff. Automatic bid. Go. And that's not what this proposal looks like. It gives a lot of comfort to. There's only two spots outside of the Power Four there. Get out of here.
No. It just... You're limiting the other... I get it.
It's for money.
The power franchises do bring more money, more watchability. I 100% get that. They bring sponsorships, everything. But that's... You're taking away the effective underdog story, which is why a lot of people also like to watch playoff runs. The UB Bulls made a deep playoff run, that'd feed families.
That would feed generations.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm eating.
So there's just as much money potentially from the underdog making it through.
But it's very
than the power
few and
conference.
Far in between for that to happen. For an underdog to win a bowl game, that is a different thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like college football, it is the gap is so much larger. It is tougher to have a successful string of runs
mm-hmm.
like that. At least with basketball, it is you play a style that most teams are not prepared for or they can't keep up at your own game.
Mm-hmm.
So it can allow for a lower seed to make a little bit of a run. But as of late, that's not happening either. Because with the NIL era in college sports, the haves and the have-nots, that gap is bigger.
Mm-hmm.
They have the money, they're going to be able to spend it. If you do not have that money, you're not going to be able to spend it. And the transfer portal is going to hit those smaller schools even harder than it does.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. They're messing around with it too much. Like, let this just sit for a little bit. It's only been a short period of time.
We just got the 12.
Yeah, like, let this just marinate in people's heads for a little bit.
We just got the 12, and it wasn't really seeded the right way. So why don't we try it another year, see how the seeding goes, and we go from there. Like the teams that get the week off, does it have to automatically have been conference winners? No. Maybe it's based on the AP poll.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see how they format it this year. But then I think the next step is also you go to 16, not 24.
Yeah, let's not double it.
Or God forbid 28.
No, don't double it. If you're going to do anything, add a few more teams. That's it.
Right.
That's it. We do not need to, because you're going to lose the validity of the event if you make it 28. That's like you have to attempt to not to make the playoffs to make the playoffs. You know what I'm saying? At that point, it's just too much.
I put something out on this, and Scott tweets in, it'll be December madness before we know it.
Mm-hmm.
803-0550, the number to call. We're having our fun here, vibing a little bit today. Thank you to Maniac from Trainwreck Sports joining us here on this past segment. And we're going to keep going. Talk Bills preseason. And I want to focus more now, coming up next, on players that I want to see more from. From preseason game number 2. There's a lot of fun answers to this. And I really don't think there's a wrong one. Who do you want to see more from? There's no wrong answer here.
No. Not at all.
Find out what we've got coming up next.